Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hurry Up Podcast. I'm your host, David Giardino, and I'm joined today by Brandon Ganasty.
What's up, everyone?
All right, so on this episode of the NBA portion, we're going to jump right into the Boston Celtics. Brandon, you have something to say?
Look, it's not like it... All right. It's just terrible, man. It's I was going to start off by giving a positive take, but I just don't want to do that because they're terrible. The Celtics that I've watched this season have been... There have been portions of games where I've seen the worst basketball that I've seen other than like the Cleveland Cavaliers 2 years ago or even last year. Like, it's terrible. And then I even heard about one NBA player telling other reporters that Tatum and Brown can't be all you have because they don't make players around them better. And initially, I disagreed with that. But then going back and looking into it more, I kind of agree with that sentiment because, yes, while they are scorers at the elite highest level, we can see that they don't make the players around them better. I don't know if it's an issue of coaching, because I think Brad Stevens has an issue with galvanizing the team, and that's undeniable. I don't know if it's a team culture issue, because we heard about those apparently Hayward was treated terribly when he was coming back from injury. They called him Brad's son when he was an all-star, first coming back after one of the most gruesome injuries in professional sports history. And then it could be an issue of just the personnel and the players, because they just aren't deep enough to do it. They have essentially the only NBA players on the team right now are Kemba, Tice, Pritchard, Tatum, and Brown. Because when I watch the games, it looks like everyone else is just some dude they picked up at the Y.
I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but just this roster is not good enough to win a championship. And there's very clear holes in it. I don't think it's on Brad Stevens, because I still do think he's one of the best coaches in the
league. They all play a role. Everything is playing a role. Nothing's working out.
Yeah. And so I'm not going to put that on Brad Stevens. I'm going to put this all on Danny Ainge, because it's been clear for the entirety of this year, and I'm going to say even last year as an outside fan looking in, that like the talent, this roster has very, very clear holes in it. And it's clear that I think you're right. The locker room is not right. I mean,
Tatum, whenever we were playing like De'Aaron Fox or something, Tatum is like smiling and laughing, joking with him. But then you look at other games, Tatum is stone-faced. And then you have a guy like Jaylen Brown. And I think his strength is his like killer mentality and his assassin-like attitude. And he's stone-faced the entire game, which I think is fine for him. But you take a guy like Tatum, you take a guy like Kemba, who normally is known for his smile and his... just happy attitude, and he doesn't have that here because the shots aren't falling for him either. I will say, though, on Kemba Walker, we have seen consistent, gradual improvement from Kemba Walker, and that I think has been one bright spot in this past stretch for them.
Yeah, you need to make some move at the deadline with that exception, because I know Ayush is going to listen to this and ridicule me again for saying this, but not getting Miles Turner was killer. And we all know that it could have happened at some point. It was not about the money. Ainge could have pulled the trigger, but he got greedy and started asking for Oladipo and TJ Warren. It's very clear that that would have been the missing piece for this team. I truly believe that if you had Miles Turner, you would be a top three seed in the East right now.
Here's what I would say about this season. Tice has proven to be an elite player in this league. He's scoring 14 points. Every game I turn on, he's scoring between 10 and 14 points a game. Blocks at an elite level. Defense at an elite level. Maybe not the top center that he was once thought to be, but perhaps maybe a more elite power forward, as we've seen.
He's averaging 9.
That's still pretty good, man.
And but I don't think he's a good starter. I think he could be the perfect backup big on a championship team, but I don't like him starting. Maybe as a four, but not even as a four if you're fully healthy. Fully healthy, you have Kemba, Smart, Brown, and Tatum. Tatum can be your four, and then you get, if you had a guy like Miles Turner, that is a very, very good starting five. And then off the bench, you could have a guy like Tice, and then maybe bring in somebody like a Terrence Ross or a Harrison Barnes to come off the bench. That's the two pieces you're missing. Is a guy that can protect the rim and stretch the floor at center, and a guy that can give you instant offense off the bench. Because right now your second unit is god awful, and you're lucky that
terrible.
Robert Williams has shown flashes of being good. Peyton Pritchard has obviously been playing very well, but like Tristan Thompson is terrible.
Some games he scores a lot. Like last game he dropped like 17 points, but I'm just gonna say that like everybody who looks at that and then judges him as a player based off of those 17 points is being blinded by the scoring. None of those points were his. They were all cherry picked. They were, you know, a quick pass to him. Any player in the league could have made those points that he made.
He's just not, and he's terrible defensively. His only value on your team is as a rebounder. And even then, he's not even rebounding.
I think he brings some value as like a locker room guy, mentality guy.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But he should not be getting significant minutes on your team. And to think that he has started 21 out of the 26 games that he's played, that's not a good look. And this team is just clearly, team is just not going to win. It's not. They haven't before. And you need to make some sort of move at the deadline, maybe in the buyout market. I've been seeing Andre Drummond rumors, and I think that would be a good fit.
No.
I think it would be a good fit for a buyout.
Andre Drummond is one of my least favorite centers in the league.
But he fills a role that you need.
Everything that he does out on the court is an empty stat.
But I don't necessarily agree with that. I think
he's not a good defender. He's a good rebounder.
He's an above average defender, rim protector.
If he were as historic of a rebounder as you know as the numbers say he is, maybe he should have been winning one of the past years when he was leading the league in rebounds.
I don't know. I don't think rebounds lead you to wins. I think rebounds would be valuable on this team, though.
I think they lead you to at least gotta do something for you.
They do, but the thing is, he was playing in Detroit. He was the guy in Detroit, and obviously he's not going to be the guy anywhere now. And so I think if they get a buyout and you guys can get him on a relatively small contract, because if he gets bought out, you're not going to have to pay him 20-some million dollars. You're going to maybe pay him 5 to 10, and you'll still have a massive exception left. I think that would be a good move. And then maybe you go for a guy like Terrence Ross or Harrison Barnes, get some sort of offense, because your offense is abysmal right now.
Yeah, I think what's more important than a center right now for the Celtics is you need another creator off the bench. You need a playmaker like Hayward was. I think Harrison Barnes can sort of do that. I don't know to what extent he can. I haven't looked into too much, but I'm pretty sure he can create his own shot at the very least, we need some type of scoring off of the bench.
That's why I like Terrence Ross. I know his name's been everywhere, but he's one of the best bench players in the league, and he's instant offense. I think he would be really, really good for you guys.
Yeah,
but you can't like denounce the obvious hole that this team has on the inside.
I mean, hey, if Kemba gets back to scoring 25 points a game, I'm sure that we'll win a little bit more. But I'm confident that we won't go too far in the playoffs unless there is some sort of piece added to the bench.
And I'm going to be quite honest, like, I don't think you guys, with all the great centers that are in the East or great interior presences, like, I think Bam is much improved this year. I'm not going to make a statement about the Heat right now, but Bam is much improved.
You can't talk about the Heat like that.
Okay, yeah, there's the I said it last week and I'm still going to stand by it. This Heat team I still think beats Boston in a 7-game series.
Come on now.
Yeah, I think they do.
I will not hear that blasphemy on this podcast.
Okay. I think they do.
That is blasphemy.
Bam looks incredible this year. I think you have to agree that Philly beats.
Maybe he would be above 500.
He hasn't had Jimmy all year. We talked a lot about the Heat last week.
What about Tyler Hero?
Tyler Hero,
when I said he was overrated,
been solid. He hasn't like flopped out or anything.
If they have as many great players as they do, maybe they should be above 500.
No, they haven't had a full roster at all this year. They've been
missing. They've just been missing Jimmy.
And they were missing Bam and Hero for a while when they had a whole week because of COVID and they had to
play. It's not like every other NBA team in the league faced that exact same situation.
They've been especially hit, I think.
Look at the Sixers. Look at the Celtics. Look at the Clippers.
I don't know. I'm still going to stand by the Heat beat the Celtics, but that can be a different. But still, okay, back to my original point, like a guy like Embiid, who is the MVP this year.
50 points last night.
Yeah, you have to agree that the Sixers would be, Yeah, the Sixers would beat the Celtics in a 7-game series right now. The Bucks would probably beat the Celtics in a 7-game series right now. And the Nets would definitely beat the Celtics in a 7-game series right now.
I mean, maybe Ainge sort of predicted this, and the point of this season, number one, was to show Tatum and Brown why they need to develop their playmaking game. Like, maybe you could look at the season as a... I mean, it's hard to say this about a team that's been to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 out of the last 4 years, but like, Tatum and Brown aren't there yet. They're still developing, and they haven't reached that point yet to where they've needed to be playmakers, and maybe the point of the season was for Danny Ainge to introduce that next step of their games to them.
I think that this is just Danny Ainge for the last couple of years been too scared to take that next step and to solidify this roster as a championship team. That's honestly, like, what's the last big move that Danny Ainge made was Kemba, right?
Signing, like, in the offseason, or... Yeah.
Signing. Like, a move that sacrifices your future in order to win now. When was the last time he made a move like that? Maybe Kemba. Bringing in Hayward? Not even Kemba, because, like, that didn't sacrifice your future.
Gave away Rozier.
Rozier is already, like, 26, 27. It's not...
Rozier's been having a better season than Kemba.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like that was a semi-lateral move, and it's not like you have so many assets, and it's great to have those, but at some point you need to bank those in and make the roster. You're like, okay, we're winning now. Yeah, but also a semi-lateral move. You didn't really give up any future in order to get Kyrie.
No, you gave up IT. You gave up IT in the pick. You gave up the pick that became Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton, that's true. Okay, so that was one. And then that kind of worked out, I guess. But you have to make more than one move. Avery
Bradley for Marcus Morris.
That was also semi-lateral. They're around the same
age. Avery Bradley at the time was an elite defender in this league and much better than Marcus Morris.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like he hasn't made a move, taken a chance to make this team a legitimate contender yet. And I think he needs to do that this year or maybe next year. Well, he still has Brown on a steal of a contract that he does, and well, Tatum is still here. I think it's time for Boston to finally flip the switch and be like, okay, we actually have to win now. It's okay if we sacrifice a little bit of our future. We have to win because our championship window is just opening right now.
Look, I'll agree with you next season. I don't think this year was ever a part of their championship window, but I think this year is the stepping stone. I think next year is the year.
Okay, I'll hold you to that. I think this year they wanted to win. I think they you take as because
I said this last year they week. Expected to win, giving like
really
if Brown didn't develop as colossally as he did over this past offseason, they wouldn't even be where they are right now. You know, like
yeah, but I think
I don't think they expected Brown to be this good.
I think if you just made the Eastern Conference Finals, you're thinking, oh, we're gonna win next year.
Yeah, but the second best team in the East last year was Toronto.
Yeah, but I no, it's like well, you could tell. I don't know. I think that they've been wanting to win, and I think they should be trying to win, because what Ainge has done with getting those assets is he's kind of prolonged their championship window and made it wider than it is for most teams, because Jalen and Jason are so good right now at the ages that they are. I think that your championship window, instead of maybe 5 years, is some more like 8 years. But the next step in that is that you have to put the best team you possibly can on the court every single year to try and win a championship, because that is the hardest thing to do in sports, obviously, is to win a championship. That's the goal every team has. And the amount of things that need to go right to win a championship is insane.
I think I agree with you to an extent, but I just cannot agree with you that the championship window is opening right now when the best player on the Celtics like just turned, what, like 23, 20?
That's what I'm saying. It's way earlier than anybody else, but I think he's good enough that he can be your best player on a championship team.
Not this year. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll change my mind come playoff time, but right now he is not good enough until he develops that playmaking game and makes other players on the team better around him to be in a championship window. You're not going to get through with just your two best players being pure scorers. You need a playmaker in there.
Yeah. So we're both in agreement. The Celtics are not championship contenders this year.
For now.
So what does that look like for the future? You going to keep Kemba around? What are you thinking about that?
I mean, look, it's been hard to sort of quantify Kemba's importance this year because he's been so terrible coming off of the injury, but he's finally been working his way back gradually, and who knows? I was listening to a stat last night, and Celtics have won 3 out of the last 4 games that Kemba has played because they've been giving him off nights because of back-to-backs, and I think that's a stat that we need to keep our eyes on moving forward. I've been very critical of Kemba this season, and I think he's been terrible. I mean, even at his worst game, though, he's better than Teague, who I think is the worst player in the NBA. Oh, God, he's terrible. Worst player in the NBA, like, relative to the minutes that he gets.
He's been awful. Yeah. I don't know. I just... I agree. Kemba is... I don't know. I can't get a good read on him. Because, yeah, like you said, he hasn't played that much. So, like, the people that are like, ship him out for anything, like, no, that's stupid, that's dumb. He's still a good player.
He's a perennial all-star.
He needs to get back to that level if you're going to be anything. But, like, I don't know. I still have faith in him, but you are paying him a lot of money to be producing the way he is.
I mean, it's only 2 more years after this, so.
So, yeah, so I think, I don't know. You either need to ship him out next year, or unless you can sign an extension for less. But I don't.
He shows something this playoff. Either he shows something in the playoffs this year,
or he's gone. But I don't know what the market's going to be for him. That's my problem. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, an interesting conversation could be what teams could use a sort of depleted Kemba like this.
I don't know, but I think.
I think the Lakers.
See, my problem is, I think this offseason they're going to be a. There's going to be one other guy that's, I think, better than Kemba that would play a similar role and makes the same a similar amount of money, and that's Kyle Lowry. I think Lowry and Kemba are going to hit the trade market at the same time, and if I'm a team, I would much rather have Lowry.
I'm inclined to agree with you. And speaking of elite point guards in the league who have a place in the NBA, IT the other day, 19
points.
Oh,
my God. Yes, on Team USA. Yes.
Give him a spot.
We've been saying that all year. Somebody has to give him a chance, right? Like, in this league, nobody plays defense either way. I don't understand. I get it. He's a terrible defender, god-awful defender. But, like, somebody has to give him a chance. Some team that's borderline playoff team that needs a little bit of scoring off the bench needs to give him a chance.
Bring him home. Bring him home.
Honestly, I'm not even – wouldn't even be mad at that.
As a third-string point guard? As a third?
Not even. As a backup. I think he could be a backup.
Pritchard plays better defense than IT
maybe.
Would. And
maybe.
I think he could maybe distribute the ball a little bit better than IT. But, man, IT, no matter what,
he can get buckets.
No matter what, he's an upgrade over Teague.
Yes, he can flat-out score the ball. And even a team like maybe in New Orleans would want him. Right? Somebody to give them points off the bench. Maybe Nikhil Alexander Walker is that guy for them. I don't know. Maybe Milwaukee.
Denver could bring him back.
Maybe Denver.
Denver could use him.
Yeah. There are a lot of teams that are borderline playoff teams that could use that guy as just a one up. Maybe even Dallas, maybe even
Portland.
Even Memphis or maybe Portland. Even though I like their bench right now, but maybe. Yeah.
So many. It's hard to find
he
a team
deserves,
that couldn't use
he
him
deserves,
in some way.
Yeah, he deserves a shot. And even if it's just, he's been a superstar in the league. Like, that, I would feel like that locker room presence alone would help. That could help. Like, of that veteran presence, I don't know. He deserves a job. He deserves a job.
Absolutely. Totally. And it's not just out of sentimentality.
It's just like, he can still play. He can still play. There's no doubt in my mind that that guy can still play. I don't.
Absolutely.
All right. You want to move on to Brooklyn?
Yeah. But I got to say, man, Brooklyn has finally awakened. They've realized the potential that we thought they would at the beginning of the season. And
God, this team is incredible.
Terrifying. It's terrifying.
Terrifying. And okay, so I'm going to.
You would think that taking 3 MVP players and putting them together, like, they would need to sacrifice parts of their games, but they are flowing together perfectly, and they're all being the best versions of themselves.
And do you know what the moment was where I was like, okay, this team is legit? In the post-game press conference when Kyrie was like, James Harden, you're the point guard, I'm the shooting guard. That's when I was like, okay, he doesn't care about his ego anymore. He's willing to give up primary ball, the primary ball control role, and let James Harden be James Harden. And this is my favorite version of James Harden I've ever seen. Like, this guy that isn't taking just ISO plays all game, that's playing in an actual offense with other really good players. Like, this is, it's been the most fun team to watch since those old Warriors teams for me.
I mean, I think the moment for me when I finally realized this was the game against the Clippers. When it came, like, you know, it went towards the end of the game, and, like, man, it just became winning time for the Nets.
Yeah.
Just Kai, like, man, it's incredible to me how, like, minimum there's a player on the floor at all times that is an MVP type player.
Yeah.
It's not like they're a duo, because a duo is one thing, but, like, man, there are three of them. Like, minimum there are two MVP type players on the floor at all time. That means your third best player is going to be defending James Harden.
Which is insane. Your
third best defender is going to be defending James Harden.
It's yeah. And even, like, their role in yes, those three have been incredible and deserve all the credit. But, like, also look at their role players that are stepping up. Like, Joe Harris is having a great year.
Timothy Jeff Green. Calvaro.
Yeah, Calvaro. Like, it's my favorite name in the NBA. Jeff Green is just being Jeff Green. I will say, I don't think anybody's beating them in the East. I'm just going to preface that. Like, I think they're obviously the favorites to come out of the East right now.
I think they're the favorites to win the championship right now.
They might be, yeah. So, yes. But I still think... I would like to see them fix defensively a little bit. I think they need a guy like, oh shoot, who was I thinking? I'm gonna bring Drummond up again. I think Drummond would be really good on that team if they can get him for cheap.
Drummond's,
I think they
not a
need
defensive player though.
But he's what they need. I think he's good enough that, like, he
I think
runs
DeAndre
the floor.
Jordan does exactly what he.
He's
Drummond
had
does.
A terrible year.
He does exactly what Drummond does, except he opens up a lot of offensive possibilities through lobs.
I don't think so. DeAndre Jordan is not it this year. He has not had a good year in the slightest. I don't know. I think they need it.
They could have kept Jared
it.
Allen.
They should have kept Jared Allen. Jared Allen has looked really good this year, but. I think that's the one thing they need, is they need interior defense.
Imagine if they had Dinwiddie.
Yeah, that team would be... And they will next year. That's the scary thing.
Like, here's the thing. If they somehow lose in the playoffs this year, I think they're done.
Really?
I think they're do or die this year. I think the chemistry can't survive a loss in the playoffs.
I think it could. First year playing together. Those three, it genuinely seem like they love playing with each other. And I don't think one playoff loss is going to take that away, especially if they're like, okay, well, we lost in the playoffs, but we also have this guy, Spencer Dinwiddie, that's, like, one of the best bench players in the league coming back. And maybe they get a... The thing is, like, you remember what happened with the Warriors a couple years ago when it was just, like, veterans that wanted rings would just sign there for nothing?
Yeah.
That's going to happen with this Nets team. There's going to be some veteran center, some veteran wing that's just like, oh... I can get a free ring here and just sit there and play defense. Sign me up. I think they should take another look at Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
They should have...
a guy like him.
There was a guy that the Nets signed before the playoffs last year.
Jamal Crawford?
Yeah, it maybe Jamal Crawford.
I don't think they need any more offense.
I know, but...
I don't think they need... I love Jamal Crawford, but I don't think they need any more offense. Yeah, but I would like them to look at a guy that can... Then JaVale maybe McGee. Even like... Yes, maybe a JaVale McGee. I was thinking PJ Tucker's making a lot of money, but if he gets bought out by Houston, PJ Tucker would be a perfect guy in this Nets team, and he has chemistry with Harden already.
Yeah.
That would be perfect. But, like, yeah, this team is the favorite to come out of the East, and we can have a serious conversation about them versus the Lakers for the finals. Like, that's going to be a really, really good finals matchup.
I think the only trio in the league, I'm not even talking about the rest of the team, but the only trio that could even stand up to them, I'm not even... You can't catch me on TikTok with a headline and everybody's going to roast me again, because I'm not saying they're better than them. I'm not saying they're equal to them, but I think the only trio comparable to them right now, if Kemba continues to play at a high level, are Kemba, Tatum, and Brown. I think that's their ceiling. Like,
that's a high... I don't think there is a trio in the league that's even sort of close to them.
I mean, I agree, but they're like a lesser version.
We have two...
The
that
Walmart
team
brand
is... Kemba.
The Walmart brand.
Walmart brand Nets is the Celtics. I just, this Nets team is not the best. People don't come after me for saying they're the best. This is one of the best offensive teams we have ever seen.
And everybody else just stop talking about the Bucks completely. But like, man, Giannis dropped 19 rebounds last game, which is insane.
They've had an interesting year. I don't know how to read this Bucks team, because on paper, like, they made a lot of good moves, and they're gonna be a top three team because of Giannis. But playoff time, I don't know what I'm gonna see out of them, because I'm gonna stand by what I've said about Giannis for the past couple of years. Like, he's a great player until playoff crunch time, and then it's like your best player can't shoot free throws and at the end of playoff games. Oh, well, then we're just gonna foul him a bunch. And they've lost a lot of close games because he can't hit free throws. And when the game slows down, he's so much less effective. I think Drew Holiday has been an incredible pickup for them. He brings something that they just haven't had in the past. And I don't see him really dropping off in the playoffs. And I think their depth got a lot better. But I think, to me, it's going to be, can Giannis stay on the court in the final moments of playoff games and not be shut down like Miami did last year?
I think another issue that about the Bucks that we don't talk about too much is that those first 2 years, Brook Lopez was elite. Like, I'm talking like top five center in the league level elite. But I think to some extent, Brook Lopez revolutionized the center position, because there was a sort of sentiment of centers needing to take outside shots at that point to open the floor. But it got to the point some games where Brook Lopez was the primary option from three. And he was good at it. He got game winners from three. He was making shots at a high clip from three. But then, like, this year and sort of towards the end of last year, we have seen a huge decline out of him. And how old is he? Does it have to do with
age? He's old.
Okay, well, maybe that has to do with age. But I think if Brook Lopez isn't at his best, I don't think the...
I don't know if he necessarily revolutionized it, but like he was the Curry
for centers.
He's the poster boy for guys that have just completely revolutionized their game. Because if you remember in his All-Star days in Brooklyn, he never shot threes. He was a purely back to the basket guy who played very little defense, and he's transformed his game into a guy that does shoot threes and blocks a lot of shots. And I do agree with you that he's fallen off in the last couple of years a little bit. I just think across the board, I don't know if he's necessarily their key, but yeah, across the board, if the Bucks are gonna win, I mean, he's still shooting 36% from three. That's really good.
But you could just tell he's not the same player defensively.
Yeah, maybe not, but I think also, like, just the others are gonna have to play well for Milwaukee just in general. But I think it's going to come down to Giannis.
I don't think Patrick, the guy who was in the dunk contest, what's his name?
Pat Connaughton.
I don't think Pat Connaughton is it. I don't think he's that great of a player.
He's all right. He's pretty good. He's a solid bench player, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
A lot of their players are sort of meh outside of Giannis, Drew.
I think they have a good secondary lineup. DJ Augustine, Pat Connaughton, Bryn Forbes, Bobby Portis, and whoever else they play. Jordan Nwora, the rookie.
The white guy with the lineup. Who?
What? DiVincenzo?
I think DiVincenzo is...
I like him. I like him a lot.
So much better this season.
You talked so bad about him last year, and I told you...
He was a scrub up until this year. He was a scrub.
I told you. I said if the Bucks wanted to give us him for Chris Paul, I would have been okay with that, because he's good.
No, he was a scrub every year up until now.
Yeah,
he's
but not a scrub called
anymore.
It.
He's not the best. He's not a scrub.
He plays his role really, really well.
He plays a role. He's a role player.
And he's really good at it, 3-and-D, and can handle the ball a little bit, too. He's good.
Totally. And then, man, moving on to the Sixers, I don't think we've seen anything new out of them. Maybe they've lost at a higher sort of clip than they were before, but, man, Joel Embiid has not showed any signs of slowing down or getting locked up by any player in the NBA.
I'm sorry, he's the MVP. Like, I don't care who says it. The top three are him, obviously, are going to be him, I would say him, LeBron, and maybe Lillard or Jokic right now, but I don't think it's close. He's averaging 30, 11, and 1.5 blocks on the best team in the East. He's the MVP. I don't care what anybody else says.
I think Embiid, and this is the first year of Embiid's prime.
This is a different guy than we've seen in the past years. He has the dominance. He's been a dominant player in the past, but in stretches, not consistently. This dude is just dominant. And he is like, I remember Shaq said at the beginning of the year, like, he's more skilled than I ever was. And I was like, and at the time I was like, yeah, but that's just like how basketball works, right? Like as the time goes on, players just get more and more skilled. But like, this guy is dominant. And I also want to give a shout out to a guy whose season has gone completely under the radar, has gotten a lot of hate in the past, but Tobias Harris, man, super underrated season, averaging 21 and 8 rebounds. And you know, like, on solid efficiency too. Like, I still don't think he's necessarily worth the money they gave him, but like, shout out to him for really turning it around, and shout out to Doc Rivers for completely changing the culture on this team, giving him a chance. And even like Ben Simmons, I know we give him a lot of slack because he doesn't have that edge that we wish he does. And I'm not gonna talk about his jump shot at all, because I think I've made my position on that fairly clear in the past. But I don't know. He's playing like a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He's playmaking and he's scoring at a decent clip. I would like to see him earlier on in games, trying to put his head down just a little bit more, and trying to get baskets early and then play make from there, because I think at his best we saw he put up 40 against Utah when Embiid was out, and I think we can see that Ben Simmons in the context of having Embiid on the team. This team is scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to stop them in the playoffs for sure, but I'm of the mindset that your best player on a championship team cannot be a center, because we just haven't seen it in so long.
I think it's entirely possible.
Maybe Embiid can change my mind. Maybe he could show me something different. But I think that he will personally think that he will have a hard time matching up against these Nets. Yes, he will dominate DeAndre Jordan on the defensive and the offensive end. But what are they going to do when he's switched onto Kevin Durant, or when he switched onto Kyrie or Harden? Like, yeah, those are three players that he can't defend.
I also want to give a shout out to Daryl Morey for putting like something that Philly has this year that they haven't had in the past is like very solid shooters around Embiid. Like, Seth Curry is looking to become the first player to ever have a 50-50-90 season, which is just insane. Tyrese Maxey was a great pick. Danny Green and Furkan Korkmaz also can shoot the ball. Like, that brings a different element that I don't think they have in the past, but I mean, I agree. I think that this is the definite Eastern Conference Finals matchup, Philly-Brooklyn. I don't think that there's going to be another. I think those are the two best teams in the East. And I agree. I just don't know. Yeah, I don't think there is a team that can match Brooklyn on the offensive side.
I don't know. I'm never going to, like, obviously, Daryl Morey has done a good job this year with the team that he went to work with, but I have lost a lot of respect for him, and I refuse to praise him as other people have, just because, like, he ruined the Rockets organization and then he just left. Like, what? What?
I don't know.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I mean, that's fair, but he's also like this team.
That was the KD move of executives.
And no one talks about it.
Like, what?
But would you agree with me that this is far and away going to be the Eastern Conference Finals matchup?
At this moment, yes. I'm not going to, because I don't know. I think if Philly matches up with Boston in the second round, I think Boston has a little extra juice.
Really? Like,
just against Philly as a matchup.
Okay, yeah. I think this is a different Philly team than you saw last year, though. I think
Boston sort of lives rent-free in Philly's head, though.
I agree. But I think Boston's worse this year, and Philly's significantly better this year.
I agree. But in the playoffs, I think it's a mental game, and Embiid and Simmons fear Boston in a way that Boston just does not fear Embiid or Simmons.
Maybe. That's entirely possible. But I think if Boston ends up... I think what'll end up happening is Brooklyn's gonna take the one seed eventually, and then Philly's gonna fall to two, and Boston's gonna stay on that 4-5 level. So I think they'll end up having it will be against Brooklyn, not against Philly.
Who knows? Who knows? But
I don't think you'll jump to three.
I agree.
I don't think you're gonna take over Milwaukee.
I agree. But I think if the matchup does end up happening, you know, who knows? Because we've seen even earlier this season very, very close games between those two teams. Even though Joel Embiid was putting up like 40 points in one game and like 30 points, just outrageous numbers. And then at the same time, Jason Tatum wasn't even playing in both of those games.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But yeah, anything can happen in the playoffs. I just think that this Philly team is different than any of the ones we've seen in the past.
I agree.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the All-Stars. All right, welcome back. Let's get into the All-Star starters that were just announced. In the East, we have Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, Giannis, Joel Embiid, and Kevin Durant, with Kevin Durant as the captain. And in the West, the starters are Luka Doncic, Steph Curry, LeBron, Kawhi, and Jokic, with LeBron as the starter. Brandon, you want to start in the East because you are pretty upset with one of the selections.
Look, I know initially when we talked, I was very upset about Kyrie being picked over JB as a starter, because I think over the course of the year as a whole, I think JB has had a better year than Kyrie. You know, but the more that I've thought about it and the more that I've looked into it, yes, Kyrie has missed many more games than JB. He's only played for
about
2/3 of the season. While JB has only missed, you know, 4 games, what, 5 games. But man, I gotta say, after just watching the Nets play a couple of times and watching, you know, just watching these games, Kyrie is on a level as a player that JB just isn't yet.
Yeah.
And I understand that doesn't determine who is an all-star starter. You sort of convinced me as we were talking that the numbers across the board were better for Kyrie. I went through the numbers. I was looking at all these numbers, checking field goal percentage, field goal attempts per game, points per game, assists per game. I mean, yes, JB had him beat in rebounds, but that was about it.
Yeah, I think there were five guards in the East that have five or six guards in the East that have a legitimate shot at being a starter. Obviously, some a lot more. I think Kyrie, Beal, Harden, JB, and Zach LaVine all had a legitimate chance of being starters. And I honestly think they got it right. I think Beal's just having way too good of a season not to put him there. And I get it, he's on a bad team, but like, he's averaging 34 a game. And then, yeah, it came down to that last spot. And for me, it was between Kyrie and JB. And for a while, I had JB because I also just subconsciously thought that he played like at least 10 games more than Kyrie. And I didn't realize that Kyrie's played 21 games this year. It's not like he's had a small sample size.
I think that the improvement was so drastic between this year and last year that it made him seem much better than he is.
I agree. He's no doubt going to be an all-star. He will be one of the first guys off the bench because he no doubt deserves that spot. But I think in the East they got the starters right. The West, on the other hand, we got to talk about Luka versus Dame. Because I think they got it wrong. I think Dame, you can't, here's my
That's
problem.
That's just them fishing for the brand.
Here's my problem. They, on the NBA official MVP ladder, they have Damian Lillard as number 3, and he's not an all-star starter. This is why the fan vote needs to go. The reason that Luka is a starter is because of the fan vote.
I think the player vote is also kind of ridiculous. I think that might have to go as well. I think it should just be coaches and media.
I don't even, but the media is super flawed too. I don't know.
They're all flawed in their own ways. I don't think you can get rid of the player vote because, you know, it's a fan game. It's a game that's put on just for the fans, you know?
Yeah, they can't put on the fan vote.
I mean, that's the reason why Kobe Bryant was an all-star for so many years past his prime, you know?
I mean, yeah, I guess that's kind of a different conversation, but I think, look, just the fact that he's in MVP conversations and not an all-star starter is kind of baffling for me. But I think
he's
at the end of
the
day,
board in every regard,
I agree.
As a player, maybe the numbers for assists are not there and the numbers for rebounds aren't there. But otherwise, across the board, I think I'm starting to believe that Luka might be a bit of a stat padder in the way Westbrook was. Because the statistic that I trust the least in this entire game is point guard rebounds. I just don't trust that stat.
Yes, that's fair.
And I feel like it's sort of telling when a player is averaging, you know, close to 9, 8, 10 rebounds, and they're a point guard. Like, you don't get those naturally in the game. That's a conversation that you have beforehand with your centers that says, give me those rebounds.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you to that extent, but I don't think that should be necessarily looked at that bad. I mean, Luka is having a great year, admittedly. Like, 29, 8.5, and 9.5 assists.
He's not winning. It's not a great year.
It's... Individually, he's having a good year. Their team is not, and their team is underperforming, and Dame's team is fourth in the West, and he's putting up 30 a game, and he's in MVP conversations. I think he should be. I voted for Luka initially because the Blazers were also bad for a very long time, and then they went on a really, really big stretch where they played 5 games in 7 days and won all 5 of them. Oh, quickly, just talking about that, shout out to Melo. He's been going crazy in those 5 games. He's hit so many great shots. Like, that was a great pickup for them.
And his Kanter as well.
I really like that team. I said it at the beginning of the year that they were one of my sleeper teams out West because of, like, I liked the Robert Covington pickup. And I obviously like Melo, and I knew Dame was going to play.
Kanter is a great player, like it or not.
Kanter is a great offensive player. His defense is terrible.
I think his defense is overstated. Like, it's harped on a little too much. From watching him for a full year in Boston, I don't think his defense was nearly as bad as everybody says it is.
It's pretty bad, but it's not. But that's not the role they need from him. He's coming off the bench. He gets them buckets, and he's probably the best offensive rebounder in the league right now. So he has filled the role perfectly. I think Derek Jones and Robert Covington were great pickups. Rodney Hood has had a bad year, but I think he can turn it on. And Gary Trent is picking up where he left off in the bubble, coming off the bench and averaging 15 a game. This team is good.
Nurkic
is having a solid year too. He's only played in 12 games.
What injury did he sustain?
I'm not sure. But him and another thing about them winning those 5 games in 7 days.
McCollum was injured.
McCollum and Nurkic are both injured. Yeah. And they still won those 5 games, and I don't think bringing them back is going to hurt them at all. I think this team could surprise a lot of people in the playoffs. Do I think they can beat the Lakers or the Clippers? No. But
I will say this,
this team could be the third best team in the West, for sure.
I think we are seeing the last 2 years of dominance from Damian Lillard, though. I think after these next 2 years, I think the championship window will have closed permanently for the Portland Trailblazers under this regime.
I think after the next 2 years, if they don't win anything, it's time for Dame to look elsewhere. I don't think it's because he's going to be bad. I think it's because he's given Portland all he can. And I get it, he's a loyal guy. But if they can't win in the next couple of years, it's clear that this team is not good enough to win a championship with him. So I think he should look elsewhere.
It's not the fault of Portland, because they've consistently put good teams around Damian Lillard.
No, not they haven't paired him with another superstar ever.
He's got CJ.
Who's a solid 2 option, but not a second option. And so that's why I'm thinking, like, if they can't put a championship team around him in the next couple of years, he needs to look elsewhere.
Which is gonna be really sad. Really sad.
It's gonna be really sad, because chances are that means whenever a superstar looks elsewhere, that means they're gonna go to a big market, and I hate big markets winning. I'm sorry Boston's big market, but I hate
big debatably big market. Stars don't go to Boston.
Yeah, but that's because for other reasons. It's still a big market.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I think this Trailblazers team is solid. Going back to the All-Stars, but otherwise I think that there was no debate for the other ones, right? Like, Steph Curry is having an MVP type season, and then the front court was not debatable.
Yeah, totally.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at @TheOfficialHurryUp, where we post daily content about the NBA. You should also check out our website, thehurryup.com, where we post more in-depth content about the NBA as well. Go follow us on Twitter at @_TheHurryUp, where we plan to give short pieces of insight on relevant news items on a regular basis. Make sure to stay tuned for these weekly NBA segments every Monday, our NFL segment, which comes out Wednesday, and more bonus content on the weekend. Thanks again, and see you guys next week.